I see that I have a few questions in the chat box that was sent to me, and if we can go right ahead into them for time's sake. And the question and discussion period is open to all. The first question that I have, and I believe is based on the first lecture, based on Luke 10:42. What exactly is a three-part question? What exactly is the good part that Mary had chosen? And part B, in what sense would this part not be taken away from her? Part C, is this for time only, for all eternity as well?
The word good in that verse 42 of Luke chapter 10, but one thing is needful. One thing is your business. One thing is your requirement. One thing is your employment. The Lord Jesus is saying that this is what we ought to be engaged with. But then Mary has chosen that beneficial part. It will benefit me if I sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and hear his word. There's a tremendous benefit to sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus as a student and receiving the word of this teacher and Lord. And when we do that, we benefit for all eternity.
Maybe we could add to that the observation that sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus would be a preventive measure, might say, so that Mary would not be in the same circumstance as Martha. Obviously, the work that Martha was doing was important. They welcomed the Lord Jesus into her house. There was a service that was needed, and yet the service had become a distraction. Service is good. Service is important. It's necessary, but it had become a distraction. And we might say that in this passage, we could see that it's not that the service was condemned. It was the worry and the trouble and the being filled with care. And so if there had been an appreciation of that opportunity to sit at the Lord Jesus' feet and hear his word, it would give the right character to the service. It wouldn't have been a distraction. It wouldn't have been a source of anxiety and overwhelming care. And so even in that sense, too, we could say that it would not be taken away from her. The distractions of service and the worries of service took away any peace that Martha might have enjoyed. But Mary did not suffer that same kind of loss. She was appreciating, first of all, the opportunity to hear the words of the Lord Jesus while sitting at his feet.
I would like to add another thought, that the word of God liveth and abideth forever, while other things would pass away. We are reminded in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the word of God would remain, and this would be our continual enjoyment to have his word and to hear his word and cherish his word throughout eternity. Sorry, Brother Hadley, go ahead.
Not a problem. One of the things I wanted to add was that Brother John mentioned the other two times that we meet with Mary, and we can see the benefit already when she, when we look at those other two times. She has chosen that good part. The question is, is it for now? Yes, it is. And is, will it go with her? It shall not be taken away from her. So she will have that regardless of what happens through life. When we come to chapter 11 of John, in the Gospel of John, she knows when to go. She doesn't, even though she says the same thing to her, to the Lord, she doesn't harangue him as Mary did. And when she came and she fell at his feet and wept, we read Jesus wept. We didn't see any weeping from the Lord Jesus when he spoke to Mary. He gently pointed her to the truth, which is in himself. Second, and then the third time around, in chapter 12, when they come, she's, so to speak, a step ahead, if it's only one, but a long jump ahead of the others. She is able to worship, to bring something that affects the house. The odor was filled with filled the house. This shall not be taken away from her because she learned it at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And any gift, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. She went into old age. We can see that with so many brethren as they go older. You can take away their memory goals, but start speaking about the word of God and they still have that held on to. Wonderful. And let us, brethren, commit the word of God not only to our heads, but to our hearts, because that will not be taken away from us.
Someone, I'd like to add to.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to add to what Brother Steve had mentioned, because I think it's a very important point. Because in that verse 42 of Luke chapter 10, it says, one thing is needful. And I Brother Steve emphasized this point. So what the Lord was commending is Mary's single-hearted devotedness to him. And he was saying that that needs to be valued above service. And it's interesting because I think Brother David Rice mentioned this point about the word good. It's interesting because that same word is used in Mark when the rich young ruler was referring to the Lord when he said, good master. So what he's also saying is that that when you're sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, when you're occupied with him, when he is or single, minded, when we have single-minded devotion to him, what happens is that there is a profit to that. There's a benefit to that above anything else we can do as Christians. So one of the key takeaways here as we talk about sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus is that when we compare it to everything else we do as Christians, the key here is that we profit, it's useful, and most of all, we honor the Lord in our efforts as we single-heartedly devote ourselves to him.
As a follow-up to the discussion we've been having, someone just put this question in the box. What is really the shortcomings of Martha? Since she addressed him as Lord, she brought the concern to him, and her intention was for her to help meet the Lord's needs. So what is really the shortcoming of Martha?
So I think that maybe that question was being text as the brethren just recently answered it, that it is, we're not frowning down upon service, but it's what comes first. And so Peter, in his epistle, 1 Peter, he speaks of the royal priesthood. So it's Godward first. It has to be the sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus to hear his word, where Martha, she was occupied with service. And as good as service is, according to John 15. It's more about occupation with the Lord as his blessed person. That is how I'm going to be fitted for service. But very often it's easy to be doing something as opposed to sitting quietly. And I think this is a challenge for all of us. You know, we have referenced the pandemic quite a bit today. We have been made to be more quiet, and the world is unaccustomed to stopping, slowing down, sitting. And so they want to throw off the recommendations for safety to continue on this speedy path. But for the Christian, it is to take a seat. And here it was in a house again. And it's to sit at his feet. Being still in the presence of the Lord is something we have difficulty with. And then the second thing that sometimes we have difficulty with, if we're able to sit, is to hear his word. So young people, and I think we can all, who are a little bit older, reflect upon the time when we were young, and there was many things that we were trying to find answers for. And the older ones would say, sit and listen to the voice of the Lord. And we would say, well, you know, I'm busy, this. Well, it's to sit. And so the priority that is being brought out here, and the Lord is emphasizing this to Martha. Martha, Mary has set the right priority, and therefore that beneficial part is going to be with her, because not only is she sitting, because you can sit and not hear, but she's sitting, she's hearing from the word of God, the very lips of the Lord Jesus, and now she is personally, as an individual, benefiting from hearing those words, and you see it in the life of Mary in these other instances. So let us develop a spirit of quietness to sit at his feet. Then we can hear his voice. And then the result is going to be that the lives that we lived are more circumspect, in tune with his voice, because we've been able to sit quietly in his presence.
Thank you. We need to move on to the next question. The Lord mentioned to the woman in Luke 7 and to the man in Luke 17, your faith have saved you, your faith hath made you whole. How does faith fit in with the idea of sitting at Jesus' feet?
If I'm sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to his word, it means that I trust him. And that is exactly what faith is, trusting God, believing God. Imagine that Martha said to the Lord Jesus, bid her that she come and help me. Martha is instructing the Lord. Now, that is very improper. What we need to do is let the Lord instruct us. But we must not be so bold as to instruct the Lord.
Could that be linked just with a short question, and I'm seeking a comment? The Lord said, Mary has chosen the good part. There are times where we tend to think the better part. Is there a word on not she chose the better part, but he chose the good part? Can somebody make a comment on that, please?
Well, the person who said it is the person who knows everything. So when he says it's the good part, it is the good part. Everything else in comparison, nothing else compares. He has said it's the good part. The minute we call it the better part, we are saying that this is good and this one might be better. but they both have qualities. The Lord says, when it comes to hearing his word, there is nothing like it. It's like the sword of Goliath. There's none like it.
I'm also wondering, just to add to that point, Brother Hadley, if the end of verse 39 doesn't also give a clue or someone answers that question for us. It says that at verse 39, and she sat and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And I think Tony had somewhat hinted to this point. I believe when it says that she heard his word here, it's just not the word of God. It's actually the Logos. It is the very expression of who God is. He's, again, the emphasis here is the Lord Jesus, and, you know, and nothing compares to him. So, and Mary got that point, and that's what made this such a beautiful, thing about Mary. And it said that she heard, and when it says she heard here, and, she was listening, not only physically, but she was listening with the ear of her heart and mind. The total person, of Mary was engulfed in the Lord Jesus. And that is why I believe later in verse 42, it says that she chose the good part. There was no comparison. There's no comparison to the Lord Jesus. And I believe that is why you don't say the better part. It's the good part.
Maybe that links with the idea of faith too, in that next question, in the sense that faith is the way to correctly interpret who the Lord Jesus is and to value the opportunity to sit at his feet. Maybe it looks like, when faith is bringing us to the feet of the Lord Jesus, maybe it looks like nothing is really happening. The woman who was at his feet in Luke 7, she was just there. She wasn't even speaking to him. Mary is sitting at his feet. It looks like the work isn't getting done. In Luke 17, with the man who returned, the leper who returned, it looks like he's not doing what the Lord asked him to do, but the response of his heart was initiated by that response of faith. And maybe that's a link here, this idea that faith will help us or will enable us to assess what that good part is. And it's not that the service, again, just making a link with that service that Brother Tony was mentioning too, it's often noted that in John 12, another dinner that the Lord Jesus was at, the one where Mary brought that ointment, it was brought out and elaborated earlier, but it says there Martha served. And we might just say, well, that's her gift. That was what she was fitted to do, suited to do. And yet in John 12, there's no rebuke from the Lord for her service there. And so we could maybe make the inference, you know, faith has been active in Martha's heart when she's serving in John 12. I might have said Mary serving earlier, but Martha serving in John 12, and faith will help her, will cause her to keep those things in the right balance and to keep service in its right place.
John chapter 12, the scripture says there, they made him a supper. And it is there, he is the object. In Luke chapter 10, there Martha's service to her Lord is her object. In John chapter 12, Christ is the object. It is all for him. It is all for his glory. They make him a supper for his heart's satisfaction. There was everyone was engaged in the person of Christ. In Luke 10, that had not yet been realized, particularly in the part of Martha.
Mary has chosen that good part. It's literally Mary has chosen that beneficial part. You benefit when you sit at the feet of Jesus. When I busy myself with other things, I may very well be like Martha, distracted.
I was thinking, just to bring it back to Luke chapter 8, we read this morning in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so with the woman who was the sinner, she recognized that she was a sinner, and that there was the operation of grace through the Spirit of God at work there that worked upon her heart. So the grace she sees in the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus deals with her in terms of her sins, right? So for the unbeliever, grace is the operation that brings us to the point where we recognize that there's the need of to be delivered and free from the burden of sin. And so the Lord, in bringing this before Simon, brings her sins that have to be confessed. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. So it's the faith in the one who can forgive sins that has to be brought about. And then, therefore, we know in time that he gives her the assurance of her faith, because he says, thy faith have saved thee, go in peace. So now she has peace with God. So no longer the burden of her sins, her faith in this one, but now the assurance of faith is that she has peace with God and also the peace of God.
Okay, I think we can go to the next question. I believe this question is in response to the fourth lecture by Brother Hadley. Could you please elaborate and open up to us what this access now means to us?
There perhaps several things that we can say, but first of all, we can go back to the same Hebrews chapter 10 and see what the Spirit of God says to us in relation to the access. Before he mentions the access, he says the law had a shadow of good things to come. Let us never believe that the law in itself was bad. It is a shadow of good things to come. The children of Israel had a beneficial place before God. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of through the Red Sea and into the wilderness to woo their hearts, so that there may be a testimony for him in this world. But they did not have access, because as we read in chapter 7, the way into the holiest was not made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. So even though the children of Israel had a place before God, had an opportunity to prove the goodness of God, it was merely a picture. Because God's man has to take charge of this place for God. When God made Adam, he was a picture of the one who is to come, a figure of the one who is to come. So everything that we see with Adam is merely an illustration of what God has for Christ. When we come then to the question of access, man could not come into the presence of God. In fact, he hid himself from God. He and Cain went out from the presence of God. And God was seeking ever since then to draw man back to himself. And all men did with all the privileges that God, especially the children of Israel, gave to them, he said, they go further. So he, in coming in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he made it possible for man not to make a way into his presence, but to benefit from a way he has made to come back to his presence. So everything he gave in the law, it was a shadow of good things to come. But now he says, this man has offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we are accepted in him. Ephesians chapter 1. Accepted in the beloved. He has made us to sit with Christ in the heavenlies. But even though he has made us to sit with Christ in the heavenlies, we are yet here on earth. And he wants us by the Spirit of God to be able to appreciate what he has brought us into. And the only way we can do that is by sitting at his feet, at the feet of the Lord Jesus, hearing his word, allowing the Spirit of God to take us away from the things of this earth and focus our attention by faith on the things in heaven. The children, chapter 11 of Hebrews says, they embraced the promises, but they didn't receive them. Some afar off confessed themselves as strangers and pilgrims, for they seek another country. This is where we are. And we have, by faith, access into the presence of God. We have the rite of passage. The children of Israel did not have it, but we have it. Why? Because Christ is our high priest, and we are in him there. And because we are accepted in him, we by faith can go through his blood, through into the holiest by that blood. The high priest made him in the blood of bulls and goats, but we go in because that blood has been shed and has been accepted as the only blood that God will accept to cleanse us. So we have been brought into that place where we can be come into the presence of God. It all is based on the work of the Lord Jesus. By faith, we see it in the Word of God, and by faith, we lay a hold on it, that we have access into the presence of God.
I would like to add two verses of Scripture, and one is in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And here we find it is through the power of the Spirit we have access. I know the Jew and Gentile alluded to in Ephesians there. But we have access through the power of the Spirit into the presence of God. And the other verse is in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. This is through the work of Christ. Through the work of Christ and this person as our representative too, we have access into the presence of God. So on one side, it is through the power of the Spirit, and also through the work and the person of the Christ.
I think it's also important that this aspect of access, there's two types, two parts to it. When we look in Hebrews 4, and this is a blessed prospect, a portion which is ours, when we look around, we have access to God to bring our needs to him. In chapter 10, we have access to him to just be in his presence, to tell him about things of the Lord Jesus. So there's that two aspect I see as well in this access to him.
I'd like to read the scripture that was referenced in Hebrews 10, because I think it's important as it relates to access. And I believe Brother Hadley mentioned this when he was talking about how access is gained. I'd like to read verse 19 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So, and as we know, Hebrews is a book of contrast, the past versus the present. And here you see boldness to enter. So one of the beautiful things about sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and having this access through his blood is that there's no fear. And so we can worship in the sanctuary because of that. In verse 22, it says, let us draw near. In the Old Testament, the only one that could go in was the high priest. So in essence, you might say he was the high priest was the only one who could draw near. But now because of the blood of the Lord Jesus, because of his death, all of us who know him as our personal savior, can draw near. It says with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we can enter fully into the sanctuary and worship that wasn't available before.
I just want to add quickly that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, chapter 2, 18, the emphasis is on we have access to the source of blessing, the Father. In chapter 3, we have access into the counsels of God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we have access into this grace wherein we stand, this ocean of grace. When it comes to Hebrews, it brings before us priestly function. It was the mind of divine persons to bring us in into their presence. And Hebrews open up the, if I could use the word, the process or the way in which God went about to bring sons along with the Son in relation to the blessings that he has brought us into. So now we would say that this access is what priestly function is all about. We are going in. We have been consecrated priests along with our great high priest, Aaron and his sons. We know that Christ now is the priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he's functioning after the pattern of Aaron. So he's the minister of the sanctuary. He has won, he has achieved this access, and he's bringing us in. And what a privilege, as Brother Hadley says, what a privilege that I can appropriate this blessing and enjoy it now that we can go in into the presence of God with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, bodies washed with pure water. Morally, we are qualified for the presence of God. And if we are, then after, let us appropriate this to us. So the emphasis there is priestly function. And it was made mention, it's either by Hadley or John, that Hadley, I believe, that or Tony, that royal priesthood, most people are occupied with, how can I serve? Come out to show forth the excellencies of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, it's have its place. But first, we are holy priests. We have to go in first and then come out to serve. So, as holy priests, what do we do? We offer up spiritual sacrifices unto him by Jesus Christ. So the holy priesthood, we have been given access, wonderful access, and our hands are full, filled with Christ. Let us present this to God. So the work that has been done by divine persons has been achieved to give us this access. And now, as was made mention, I want to appreciate this and appropriate it indeed in laying hold on this responsibility. For God, this service is God-ward. But then I have to come out in royal priesthood is in relation to our service.
Okay, brethren, our time is gone. We thank the Lord for this session.